Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, we've been talking a lot about Constitution as believers, Christians, how important it is and how blessed we are to live in America. This 230-year experiment has lasted pretty long and sent, you know, missionaries all over the world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Charisma News is reporting that right now in China, you know, it's illegal for children under the age of 18, anyone under the age of 18, to actually attend any religious services. Mm-hmm. But just recently, about last month, a police raided a church gathering, a house church gathering, because Christianity and religious services are only sanctioned by the government. So you can only go to a government-sanctioned church legally.
Right. Isn't it amazing how America began to admire the government and talk positively about what they've done?
Yeah,
and even where church, you know, their church, you know what happened, what Mao did, and all this. Like, and then
we have leaders that carry Mao's little red book.
And then we went over there and had the Olympics there, and all of a sudden we gave them place. And it was interesting too how they made it look like. Some giant was walking across.
Yes.
And it's like, it makes you really wonder if there was some principality walking across there saying, this is my land.
Yeah, this is during the Olympics.
We're killing every baby that's over one in a family. Mm-hmm. We're doing all this stuff. And now America's fighting some of the same inner battles mm-hmm. that China, that you're talking about, because we can see that on the cusp of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so they're mowing down the church.
Mowing it down.
Which they've been doing for years, but now they're actually...
Oh, it's public. I mean, they're showing up to these believers' homes in normal clothes, not in police. They thought they were being robbed as they were gathering together and because they refused to identify themselves.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's like deja vu. Like, we just say like, did the street light shine on them or something?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't identify themselves, showed up in street clothes, and then after they,
Who was this now?
This is in China.
No. Who's the one showing up in street clothes?
The police.
In street clothes. Wow.
On a crackdown on illegal Christian gatherings. Crazy. So
that sounds like California. They were having that. California and Colorado, they were talking about it.
And so they arrested these
folks. Not only Christian, but illegal Christian gatherings.
Right, because the only legal gathering for Christians in China is the government-sanctioned church. If you don't attend, which has a government-appointed pastor, by the way,
right,
who works for the government, and it's illegal to gather in your home, they've arrested some of the leaders. One of the leaders was arrested some time back, and he served 15-year sentence.
Wow.
If you ever read the book, The Heavenly Man, I mean, he has a tremendous testimony of just the years he would spend in prison and how God would escape him out of prisons and the trials that they went through to establish the underground church. And my understanding is they're like 130 million strong in China right now.
Wow. And this is the reason why our founding fathers 230 years ago wrote and had, you know, over a period of time as things began to unfold, as they got the Declaration of Independence and eventually the Constitution and then the Bill of Civil Rights. The First Amendment deals exactly, it should make sense to you now when you see today what John's talking about right this moment. They don't have First Amendment rights.
Mm-mm.
And this is what the First Amendment, your First Amendment, America. Listen, this is, by the way, this is yours. This is your right.
Right.
As long as you want to keep it. Congress shall make no law representing the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, the government can do nothing about how you as a Christian want to gather. There's no such thing as an illegal gathering of Christians.
Right.
And then it goes on to say, or abridging the freedom of speech, which you can say anything you want to say in that, or of the press, or the rights of the people to assemble and to petition their government for redressing agreements. So not only can they assemble in America, but you can actually say, while we're assembling, we're talking about you.
That's right.
But isn't that, I mean, what you're talking about? God just brought that to me about that. This is a First Amendment. While we have the first civil right in the Bill of Civil Rights and Bill of Rights in the Constitution, because that's what's going to happen here.
Like
if you throw
that
it away, you know, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and throw it away, and how many of us don't even know? I mean, right now, you know, I've educated myself and still educating myself on the Constitution. And mm-hmm. But for how many years myself lived ignorant of those rights that are available to me and to all the citizens, you know, in our country. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how a 6-year-old the previous month, a 6-year-old who led a small Bible study in his neighborhood, he was arrested and detained, and they fined him these huge amounts of money.
Did you say six?
60-year-old. 60-year-old. And they arrested him. He had a Bible study for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And they arrested him and made him pay this huge fine. But you're looking at, you know, what are we taking for granted here in our own country? And maybe, you know, maybe it's, look, it's working for, you know, the church in China, 130 million strong. They're being persecuted. And think about evangelism in that perspective. Now, you're a believer in China.
I know, but I just... Come on, let's get it while we got air conditioning.
I know. I know.
Why do we have to be beat? Why do we have to be beat to obey? Why do we have to be persecuted? Can you imagine that? I would have heard Pat gasping for air when he was tying his shoes. I couldn't imagine him trying to drink warm water. And oh, my goodness.
You think of evangelism in that perspective, you know, you're trying to share the gospel with someone, and the first thing they ask you now is this now. The church, is this the government-sponsored church you're talking about? Or mm-hmm. And yet instilled, like, oh, I don't know if, not exactly, we meet in our home. Isn't that kind of like illegal? And yet instilled, the church flourishes under that type of...
Is this a 501-912-3621? Is that what this is? If it's not a 6-4-3-2-1-8-6-2...
It's illegal to attend that.
And part of their church training, by the way, is being able to learn how to jump out of a second-story window in case that happens. That's part of the church training.
Isn't that amazing?
And the Americans are like, I got to sit here through the whole 10 minutes of listening to... Amazing.
Amazing. Mm. Listen, if they can do it in China, my goodness, we can do it here in America.
What, get persecuted? No.
Advance the gospel. I'm talking about advance the gospel. I mean, if they're willing to take those type of risks and be willing to be persecuted or will at whatever cost to share the, you know, they have to evangelize there too. You know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. not a bypass. They don't get a pass not to. And they're willing to continue to share the gospel. And it's happening. 130 million Christians are in China right now.
Right.
Somebody's telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ at a huge cost to them. You're worried about maybe losing a job or worried about your reputation.
Right.
They're talking about imprisonment, fines, and who knows what other type of beatings. You know, in line with that, Samuel Lamb, who was a house church leader, he just recently died in China, 88 years old.
Imagine him before the throne room of God, how all of heaven's just going like, shh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because this is what he said in Hebrews, that the world was not worthy of these folks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in China and you're 88 and you've been leading the church in China, that... I mean, I can imagine the holy hush across there and the honor that this man is receiving in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about a day yesterday about honoring our heroes. This, I mean,
exactly.
He's a hero. Yeah. He's a hero. Samuel Lamb. Today, they said the church that he helped birth has about 4,000 people that are believers that are part of the church, and they have 4 services. And what's amazing is that he went that long. I mean, he went that long. I want you to listen to a segment from CBN. As they share a little bit more about him.
Well, you may not know the name Samuel Lamb, but he was a hero of the Christian faith for millions of believers inside and outside of China. And he passed away on August 3rd at the age of 88. Lamb was arrested for his Christian faith during one of the first waves of persecution in Mao's China in the 1950s. He spent 20 years in Chinese labor camps. After his release, Lamb formed a house church and became one of the most influential leaders of China's underground church movement. One of his favorite themes was what he called the holy principle of more persecution, more growth.
And joining us now is CBN International correspondent Gary Lane. Gary has made several trips to China, and in fact, he met Samuel Lamb. Pastor Samuel, significant player in the underground church movement, right?
Yes. He and Alan Yuen, I think, were probably the largest influencers of that movement in the mid-50s. You got to remember, this was a time when China was under the influence of Mao.
Yeah.
Communism was spreading their control over the government. But he said, no, we're not going to fall under the influence of the communist church.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to maintain our allegiance to the Lord.
He didn't see persecution as a bad thing.
No, he didn't. And I asked him about that, George. I said, Pastor Lamb, tell me about the persecution. How do you view this? And he said to me, you know, before I went to prison the first time, we had 200 members in my church. Yeah. I went to prison. When I got out of prison, it had grown to 900 members.
Wow.
He said, then the Chinese authorities came and they confiscated the church. After the confiscation, it had grown to 2,000 members. And then he smiled that famous smile of his, and he looked at me and he said, persecution good for church.
Yeah.
And that was his motto, as Wendy had said earlier, more persecution, more growth.
You have met him personally. You recount a particular incident about this, about the issue of persecution.
Sure.
What was he like? Tell us about the encounter that you had.
Well, you saw the joy of the Lord on his face and that smile that was he's known for. And just a kind and gentle man, very compassionate, but very strong in his faith. And he often preached about Job. Mm. And he would say, you know, Job suffered, but we can overcome anything that the enemy throws at us, and this church will grow. And he insisted on maintaining his allegiance to an underground church,
yeah,
not directed by the communist authorities.
What's his legacy?
I think his legacy is standing firm in the faith, that overcoming faith, and the church growing and maintaining its allegiance to God first and foremost, rather than the state. And I think he's also schooled many young people who have risen up and will lead the church in the future.
And to that point, Gary, he's trained a lot of the upcoming generation today. And talk about the future of the Chinese church today as opposed to the time of Mao.
Well, it's bright, and I don't think we're seeing the persecution that Lam saw back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Some of that is like limited to local areas, but the church is going to grow. More persecution, more growth. It'll happen.
And do you see that even though there isn't that much persecution today, you are excited about the numbers of people turning to the Lord in China?
At least 80 million, maybe 100 million or so, many every day coming because of the work of men like Samuel Lamb.
Fantastic.
What a blessing he was.
I know you count it as a privilege to have met him.
Yes,
Gary, thank you so much for the insight.
You.
Wendy?
Wasn't that awesome?
That,
the holy principle. The holy principle.
Yeah.
More persecution, more growth.
Yeah.
My goodness, Lord. Help us to walk in the footsteps of Samuel Lamb.
Yeah.
And the church is continuing to stand firm and hold their allegiance to God. That's what you need, allegiance to God. And I'm amazed as we hear about his story and about his life and about his legacy. And
we're doing so many things trying to prevent persecution while we're not evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
What, 95%?
Yeah. Don't evangelize. Don't share the gospel.
Don't share the gospel.
Don't lead
one
a single person to the Lord.
Their entire life while we're trying to, like, just don't hurt me.
Right.
Don't mess with my stuff and my things and my comfort and my convenience. Those are two bookend demons that are holding so many bookend demons holding people back because they don't want to give up. You know, I worked this my entire life, and then right there at the very moment of they're going to see the Lord, they're like, "Can you go get the go?" And everybody in America is a pastor. I don't care if they would have called Jesus a pastor probably.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's an apostle, nobody's a prophet. I mean, I got some of those. And but the truth is, you are. Maybe they would call and say, "Okay, go get the pastor. Get the pastor. Well, what's his name again?
Yeah, right.
You know, and because they want to be able to see if they're right with God because they're about to see him. And then they say, "Go get my family, you know, and they want the family to be around because they want to set be right before them because they're not going to see them anymore. They're not going to see their family, but they know they're about to see God. That moment. Imagine being in that moment and living your life like so many have for themselves and having all those regrets. And people try to prudy it up. I mean, you know, everybody's in a better place. Mm-hmm. That's another second level of hell. It's called a better place. But knowing that now, you can eliminate those regrets today.
That's right.
I mean, wouldn't you just have peace of this man's walk? We could walk in a way that's like that. As a matter of fact, we're fixing to hear another article about how they bulldozed a man's house down that has over 50,000 people and Christians in this network, and they bulldozed his house down for the very same thing. They used the ordinances of the day that says this is farmland. You can't have that.
Wow.
I remember when reading the book by Jim, I'll think of his last name in a moment, that wrote the book Mega Shift. And think about his name for me.
Okay.
And in China, this one particular man, obviously an apostle, Christian, had, I believe, over 300,000, maybe even more than that, at least 300,000 members, Christians, that he was responsible for. Jim Rutz, R-U-T-Z, Jim Rutz, Megashift, good book. It'll just explode your faith. He talks quite often about China in it because that's a part of us, the church, that's really we can pay attention to and be inspired by. But he's a farmer, and he had like 300,000 Christians in his ministry that he was responsible for. Mm-hmm. And all he had was a cell phone in his back pocket, and he was working the farm that he had.
Right.
But it was done in wisdom and in a way that it had to be done in that particular environment. But hey, I mean, think about it. How many people say, I can't do it because I don't have money. Look at everything that we have to help us do even so much more. I mean, it could take a moment to evangelize the world. I mean, it wouldn't take long at all to be able to do it. But, you know, also, but you're about to hear an article from CBN that you can hear that kind of just kind of coincides with, and this is something that was laid on my heart. This is somebody that was similar. They were church leaders, and they had a network of churches. But in China, they were meeting in covert areas, predominantly houses and things of that nature, because you couldn't, as you just said, John reported that, and Charisma is reporting that you can't even go to church at 8 till you're 18 years old.
And is that?
And here is they use of course, in China, by the way, just so you know it, the government owns all the land. Every bit of it's owned by the government. They just very recently started paying off some of the cronies that have worked in the government all these years and allowing them to have their own land. But that's probably like, you can't even come up with a percentile. It's so small. It's lower than one millionth of 1%, I'm sure. And that's why the government can just tear down your entire complex and decide to do something different there because they own it all. Well, we don't need that to happen. But there were, and here you'll find out they're using the laws, the local laws that says, you know, this is farmland, this is residential, this is commercial, to be able to destroy this church leader, this couple who's a church leader, destroy their home. They push it. As a matter of fact, listen up to this report. This is exactly what one of the principles of, what do you call it?
A holy principle.
A holy principle is
more persecution, more growth.
Do you want more growth? Listen up.
From China to America, separated from family.
My dad cried because he really missed me. He don't want me to go to the university. That's too far from home, so he cannot see me.
7,000 miles from home. Chinese student Esther Yang Su was attending seminary in the United States when she learned that her parents had been arrested in the middle of the night.
For me, it's no sense. They took them away and destroyed the church.
In her first television interview since that incident, Esther told CBN News she often cries for her parents.
I'm worried about them be physical beaten or be hurt. I don't want that happen to them. And I also hope them they can have food to eat and they can sleep with warm. Because the north part in China is really cold in winter.
Esther's father, Yang Xuan, and mother, Yang Kaizhen, were among those leading the unregistered Linfan Fushan Church in China's Shaanxi province. Before dawn on September 13, 2009, a crowd of 400 police and other officials raided the church as Christians slept at the church construction site. Some were beaten. At least 30 were injured. 10 church leaders were arrested. Bob Fu is founder and president of China Aid Association, a Texas-based ministry that helps persecuted Chinese Christians.
This church is an evangelical house church with about 50,000 members, and it actually is part of the heritage church from the first of the China Inland Mission. Actually, Linfan is known all over China as the Chinese house church's liberation zone to describe how impactful and influential of this church has been in this area.
And perhaps that's why Chinese government officials felt threatened, felt they had to crack down.
Government officials charged the Lin Fen pastors with unlawfully occupying agricultural land and gathering to disturb the traffic order.
When they were brought to trial last November, they were fined and given prison sentences ranging from 2 to 7 years. Esther's mother, Kai Zhen, received 2 years Lao Gai, that's re-education through labor. Her father, Xuan, received 3.5 years imprisonment. Gordon Chang is a China analyst with Forbes magazine. He says the government is fighting a losing battle against the church in China.
The underground churches, those that are completely considered to be illegal, and the regime tries to stamp them out, but they can't because there are just so many people. And so basically the Communist Party is creating enemies for itself, because in this struggle we can see that faith is so much stronger than the government.
Esther says she believes her father's faith is being strengthened through this experience.
For him, it's encouraging. It's a test from God in order to make us stronger or more love to the God.
While Esther's passion has been renewed, she still misses her parents. She's upset her family could not be together this year to celebrate the spring festival, the Chinese New Year.
And I also cannot hear their voice. I even don't know where they are now. So when I think about this, I'm really sad. I'm really upset.
Tom White is executive director of the Voice of the Martyrs.
She's still pretty torn up about it, but her faith remains strong. She sees the larger picture. I think there's a type of joy you can have even while you're grieving. It's that greater sense that we are immortal in Christ. The church will not lose.
Esther has written a letter of appeal asking the international community to intercede for religious prisoners in China.
We have a big family in the Lord. Pray for them. God still loves them, even they are in the prison.
Gary Lane, CBN News.
Totally amazing, wow. Is it not? Three years in prison for the husband and 2 years for the wife, and their home. And you, I mean, think about it, your home being totally mowed down and destroyed. And he sees it as something that is going to help build his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really realize, we don't realize it at the time when we begin to go through things, that this is going to make us stronger.
That's right.
But I think of the words of Joseph, who obviously journey was ridiculously horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And he did nothing but, what was written about his life was good. And when he came through it all, he understood what these men and women in China and those in past are talking about. He understood that what you meant for evil, God meant for good.
Mm-hmm.
That God was allowing these things to take place. It's our rough encounters. It's our fights, if you would. Our spiritual warfare fights that make us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in law enforcement, that when you had to fight for your life, and you learn so much from those instances when, things are going bad, and you come out of that, you're actually a better officer because you grew in so much wisdom. Well, and if you'll fight the good fight of faith, you'll get out and realize that God's totally in control. When these things happen, and they will happen,
mm-hmm.
you understand what Jesus said, cheer up. I've overcome all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to strengthen your faith. Dear God, we pray for the persecuted church. We ask you, Lord, to meet with them, encourage them, and help us. Give us a grace that we can stand up in the freedom and the blessing and the everything that you've done for us in America, and be the voice, the city on a hill that our former president Ronald Reagan used to talk about. It's time to shine the light. It's time to go into all the world. Yeah, just a brief before we close, I'll let you know, it was America that sent missionaries to China.
Right.
But now it's time for China to send missionaries back to America.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.